we are holding on Memdalidomid Bay is about two-thirds of the way down the arm of the Lambigan Tiva. Okay, so we started learning yesterday about the respective places of gold and silver in the monetary system, which one is considered the masbeya, the coin, versus which one is considered the payrus, the commodity, and therefore we know the mashicha on the commodity is going to make the transaction be in effect. So we discussed
not the masbeya,
not the masbeya, right? So we said that Rebbe himself learned in two different versions. First, when he was younger, he learned that silver is considered the commodity and gold is considered the fixed value. And later on, he changed his mind, which is the way we have it in our Gemara Bavli over here. Hazav Koinez. Okay. Tanan Hossam. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Maisa Sheni, in connection with the question about redeeming Maisa Sheni. So like I said yesterday, we're going to be talking about that concept a lot of times in this parak. It's going to come up again and again in connection with the details of what's considered a coin and the value of coins and so on and so forth. So the Mishnah says over there, Bishamar Oimim, Lo Yasa Adam Sloim Dinre Zahav. Bishamar says, suppose a person has silver sloim, silver coins of Maisa Sheni. So he had fruit of Maisa Sheni, which he redeem them on silver coins, which are supposed to be taken to Yerushalayim. Now he wants to exchange those silver coins for gold coins so that it's easier. You can take a few gold coins. We learned yesterday this is a 25-to-1 ratio. You'll have fewer coins to take. Yeah. So Bishamai says you're not allowed to do that. Basil Matirin, whereas Basil says you're allowed to. So what's
By the way, how did we come to a 25 ratio?
Oh, so we said yesterday at the very end, because even though Tosfos mentions in their times, and apparently it was that way in the times of the Gemara also, the ratio of the prices of silver to gold of gold to silver were 12-to-1, but a gold dinner was twice as thick as a silver dinner, and therefore you end up with a 25-to-1 ratio. That one gold dinner is worth 25 silver ones. Okay.
So it's price and volume.
So price and volume, exactly. Okay. So Bishamai is saying that you're not allowed to exchange silver coins of Maisa Sheni for gold ones. Or Bishol Maturin, whereas Bishol says you're allowed to. What's the underlying machlokas? Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. Chad Oma machlokas b'sloyim al dinrin. One says the machlokas is only as far as what it's saying here in the Mishnah, that converting silver coins into gold coins. As opposed to, we might have said, as the Gemara is going to continue in a minute, that the other opinion would be that the machlokas might be, are you allowed to exchange Maisa Sheni money for gold coins? So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the machlokas is only about converting silver to gold. Why? The Bishamai Savri Kas V'Tiva, V'Dava Pera, Bishamai would be the one to hold that silver is considered the money, and gold is considered the commodity, like our Mishnah said, Azal Karnes HaKesef. And they would argue, look, you're not allowed to exchange coins of Maisa Sheni on fruit outside of Yerushalayim. The whole point is you convert the fruit of Maisa Sheni, the produce of Maisa Sheni, into coins. You take coins to Yerushalayim. You spend them over there on food and drink and eat it there in Yerushalayim. Not
fruit.
So it has to be fruit to coin to currency, and then that currency is brought to Yerushalayim to use to buy fruit. Not that you're converting currency back into fruit.
What do you mean?
If we say we're saying like this, if Bishamai holds, like our Mishnah says, Hazahav Koinez HaKesef, gold is a commodity as compared to silver, then it would mean that gold would be in the place of Paris. Therefore, if you were to do Maisa Sheni fruit to silver and then to gold, it comes out. You're converting to silver, to coins, and then you're converting back to fruit. And you can't do that, Bishamai says.
Why?
Because that's not the point. The whole point is Maisa Sheni is supposed to be done. Fruit to coin. No, once or twice we'll deal with later. Right now we're not getting to that point yet. Right now we're just saying
in
Yerushalayim you're supposed to convert. You're supposed to convert the coin to fruit.
So
if gold is paris, that would be why Bishamai says you can't do that.
Right.
Okay, there's different opinions why it would be exactly. Rashi says that Rashi quotes the pasuk in this connection, which means that Rashi holds the daraisa. You're not allowed to convert to daraisa. Rashi would say the pasuk says the tzarta akesef. The pasuk says that you take the money to your shalayim, implying that you can't reconvert it to pay this outside your shalayim. Tosfos learns that.
But according to
daraisa,
nobody says
it. No, but that's the point. So anything that would be considered payrus, anything that would be considered payrus. Wait. So there are other opinions among Rishonim that maybe from Tosfos over here from Tosfos over here, it seems that it's that it's not that you're not allowed to daraisa. It's just maybe we make a gzera about it, or different possibilities, but different approaches. I should also mention there are different rishonim who argue when the Gemara is talking over here, when we're going to be talking over here, whether gold is considered the commodity or not. Are we talking in an absolute sense, meaning as far as Maaseh Sheni, or in general as far as Mecha HaMemkar, as far as buying and selling? Or maybe only as far as Maaseh Sheni are we saying that, but maybe as far as exchange of gold for silver or whatever. After all, we had our Mishnah that implied that Hametalpulin Koinin Esamatbeya, that said that any Metalpulin can acquire any coin, Lechura, even a gold coin. So Tosfos mentions further on that Rabbi Goin holds that gold, that from, based on our Gemara, that gold is considered payrus for all purposes. It's not considered coinage at all in Halacha. And Tosfos says maybe only Rabbi Goin said that in his times, because gold coins didn't circulate in his time, and therefore it would be like nowadays. Gold coins don't circulate nowadays. Maybe therefore in his time they would be considered payrus.
What?
Nowadays, you don't have any gold coins that circulate.
Silver
coins don't circulate either, no. Indeed. Now, in modern terms, I guess both gold and silver would have to be considered payrus. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
You
copper. Pennies are still, okay.
Actually, I think we should correct that, because silver does circulate in the form of quarters.
Quarters aren't silver. No, they don't. Not since 1965. They don't. Come on. We're not going to sit and talk as coin collectors. I used to be a coin collector 25 years ago. I know where I speak. Okay, onward. And so do you. Okay, onward. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Goin as saying that this that we're saying, according to Beis Shammai over here, and we may say that it turns out according to Beis Hillel as well, that gold is considered payrus, might be across the board for Mecha HaMemkar, for Maaseh Sheni, for everything. But many of the other Rishonim argue on Rabbi Goin and say no. We're talking over here in terms of Maaseh Sheni. That's a special situation. Not necessarily does it apply more generally. Okay, onward. So that would be the Machlokes. Or Beis Hillel Sabri Katzwa Peira B'Davativa, whereas Beis Hillel would hold the other way around. Silver is considered the Peiris. Gold is considered the coin. And again, Peiratativa, Machal Linen. Fine, no problem to exchange fruit for coins. And according to what we're saying over here, we'll get to later the possibility that maybe not, but for now we'll assume there's no problem transferring from one kind of coin onto another. So very well then, you've transferred. We'll see. Wait, I mean, Halacha is like Beis Hillel, obviously, but we have to figure out what Beis Hillel is saying exactly. Yeah. So that would be fine then, because you can redeem fruit of Maaseh Sheni on coins, and if gold is considered the coins, then you're good. But this opinion would say that everybody would agree that you can directly be mechalal the fruit of Maaseh Sheni directly onto gold coins. You can't. The question is, can you do from to silver and then from silver to gold? But for sure, you can do to gold. My time admitted to have Kesef for Beis Hillel, because we would say that what Beis Shammai says about gold would be no worse than what Beis Hillel says about silver. Kesef for Beis Hillel, namely Kesef for Beis Hillel, afagav b'kasef l'gabe dava peira avi. Let's assume we just said that according to Beis Hillel, it sounds like they hold of the version that Kesef is considered the peiros, the version from Rebbe's youth that our Kesef koneh hazav.
Wait, they hold like that, and the Mishnah said different.
Well, wait. I'll explain that in a second. But let's first deal with what we have here in the Gemara in front of us. Let's say we're saying, according to this opinion, that this hill holds HaKesef Koneh Es HaZov. Kesef is considered the Peiros, Zohav is considered the Matbeah. Well then, nevertheless, even though it is true, it is true, Beis Hillel would say that silver relative to gold is considered like payrus, because gold is the main, you're on the gold standard, and silver is just a commodity that fluctuates in price. Still, agave payrus, tiba habi. Nevertheless, Beis Hillel would be saying, when you compare it with fruit, which is very variable, then even silver can be considered a matbeah. So Beis Hillel would say, in other words, if you have gold and silver in the mix, gold is a matbeah, silver is not. But if you have only silver and something else, silver will be the matbeah relative to anything else. So therefore, Beis Hillel would say you could do it. You could do fruit to silver because you're going from fruit to matbeah, and then you can go from silver to gold because you're going from effectively now the silver has been turned into peiros, and now you're transferring it again into gold. So you're good. Well, by the same logic, Zohav Nami the Beis Shammai. By the same logic, you could argue as far as gold according to Beis Shammai. Even though Beis Shammai would say that gold relative to silver is considered payrus, like the version of the Mishnah we have, Azov Koneh Tekesef, Again, they would say the same thing as Vesuel would say about silver, that relative to Paris, gold can be considered mafeya. So again, the same thing. They would say, in other words, that they would say, okay, so you can't go from Paris to gold and then to silver. You would say, Vishama would say like this, you can't go from Paris to silver to gold, because once you have silver already, then that's the matveya, and you can't go back to Paris. Dollar would be considered Paris relative to silver. But you could go directly to gold, because gold, in that sense, if you have only fruit and gold, then the gold would be considered the matveya, and therefore you're good. That's one way of
looking. Silver,
whereas through silver, it's not, yeah. So that's one version between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lakish. No, not why. We know why. We just said why. Because when you only have one kind of coin in the mix, namely gold, that will be considered the matveya.
No, so why is that?
Because you have to have...
Why do you say...
Because gold, at least...
Gold is a matveya or something.
Because what did we say yesterday? The reason why we would argue one way or the other that we would say gold is matveya versus silver is a matveya is each one has an advantage. Gold is more of a precious metal. It's a rarer metal. It has more of intrinsic value than silver. On the other hand, silver is charif. It circulates more readily. You'll find more people able to accept silver coins, who use silver coins in transactions and buy things and accept them, than you will people who accept gold coins. Because gold coins are only for very large transactions.
Okay, so...
So then, in that case, the same thing, but each one of them in its own way can have a certain status of a matveya. Therefore, we can say, yes, relative to fruit, which is not a matveya at all, then yes, even gold, or even silver, as the case may be, can be considered
right.
a matveya. But when you have gold versus silver, one of them is going to have to be the matveya, and the other one is not.
You take this reasoning ad infinitum. Every time you have a new commodity,
because we're talking only coins. We're talking specifically silver and gold coins. We're not getting into other commodities. If you have fruit...
And Paris.
But if you have fruit of Maisa Sheni, for example, you can't convert it. You can't, let's say, for example, say, I'm going to convert it into meat and take that meat to your shalayim. That doesn't work. You won't say one of them is the Maris and one of them is the Paris. Both of them are Paris. But here, when you're talking, gold and silver, we're saying, according to the different opinions, are sort of in the middle over there. They're not totally Paris, but one or the other of them is not totally Maris either.
It's like what we said with the Yerushalmi said, Hakesef Kanes Zav, the Nechayshis Kanes the Kesef.
Right.
So compared to one or...
Compared to the other, exactly, yeah. So that's one opinion.
You can keep comparing.
No, you can't. Let's go on, yeah. The Chadama, the other opinion says, ask the Paris al dinner in Machloikas. The other opinion between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish says, no, the Machloikas would even be as far as redeeming Paris for gold dinner. They would say, this opinion would say that Beth Shammai would say that even you can't even convert Paris directly to gold, because still gold would be considered Paris for all purposes. Or at least for all purposes as far as Maisa Sheni, you're going to coin sort of high going for all purposes, including Makachamemka, but whatever, yeah. So the question is, Lamando Amak Paris al Dinrin Machloikas, fine, according to that opinion, Adamifugi Besloin al Dinrin, then why, instead of arguing about the case where you transferred to silver and now you're transferring to gold, Liflig Paris al Dinrin, let him just argue directly on Paris to gold, and you'll understand. Thanks, I mean. And you'll understand what the Machloikas is. The answer is no. If we prepared a Saldinian, no, because if they only had that machlokas, have Amina, then you would say, you know, when they argue, Hanamila prepared a Saldinian. Fine, they argue only, you would think maybe they argue only on converting Paris to gold. Ava Besloin Aldinuin, but when it comes to going from silver to gold, Moidu Lahem Besilo Beshamai, maybe Besilo would agree with Beshamai, the Davla Gabikaspa Peirahabi, that gold should be considered Paris relative to Kesef, like our Mishnah, Hazar Koinetha Kesef, Veloy Machalulin, and therefore maybe Besilo would agree you can't go from silver back to Paris. Kamash Malon, and that is why the Mishnah tells us that the Machlokas is about going from silver to gold in order to clarify that Basil disagrees in that case as well. But that doesn't mean that Basil disagrees with Beshamai on that too. Doesn't mean, though, that Beshamai wouldn't say the same thing about going directly to gold either. Now, you were asking, according to this, it comes out that Beshamai, that our Mishnah, Hazav Koinet HaKesef, the version that we have here in the Babli, is according to Beshamai. One answer that the Ritva, I think it is, gives, said is, we said yesterday that Rebbe himself had two versions of our Mishnah, one when he was younger, and then he changed his mind when he was older. Well, by the same logic, he may well have changed his mind on the Mishnah and Ma'aseh Sheni also, and flipped around the opinions, and realized that, according to that, it comes out that the Shammai is the one who says that you could, that you, that you could do it, and Mesillah is the, or that you could do it, and Mesillah is the one who says you can't. Okay. Now, which one that we said Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish argue, which one said which? The Gemara says, Tistayim Rabbi Yechon Hu Da'amah Ein Mechalin. We can conclude, we can prove that Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who says that you can't, that Beit Shammai is the one who says you can't even go directly from fruit to gold. You can't use gold in the mix at all, according to Beit Shammai. That would be Rabbi Yochanan. Why? The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, because we find that Rabbi Yochanan says, also lilvis dinner b'dinner. Rabbi Yochanan says you're not allowed to borrow a gold dinner with the understanding that you're going to pay back a gold dinner. Well, he doesn't say gold or silver, actually. That we have to figure out. He says you're not allowed to borrow a dinner on the understanding that you're going to pay back a dinner, because it would be ribis. Because what happens if the value of the coins that you borrowed goes up? If there was deflation and now those coins buy more than they would have before, that would be ribis.
Well, if it goes down,
there's no ribis. He's not paying more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is, there could be deflation, and then you'd have a problem with ribis.
You're doing what?
Rabbi Yochanan is just saying generically, you're not allowed to borrow, let's say, 100 dinar, saying, I will repay you 100 dinar. For the same reason we talked about yesterday, saw the saw. You're not allowed to say, I will borrow a saw of wheat from you. We'll learn about it more in the next parak. So most of the dinim of ribis that we're going to learn in various places in our parak and then throughout the next parak, the vast majority of the dinim of ribis we're going to be learning are the ones that are bonan. Because the raita is fairly straightforward. You can't ribis sutta. If you made up in advance that I'll pay you an extra $10 or an extra 10% or what have you, that's ribis, period. And all the other kinds of cases where you're talking about fluctuations in value or this or that or whatever, all the rabbanan, yeah. Okay, but we learned yesterday, saw this saw, you know, I'll have to say I'll borrow a saw of wheat from you in order, and I'll pay back a saw of wheat, because if the price goes up in between, you're paying him, you borrowed a saw of wheat worth $10, you're paying back a saw of wheat worth $12, and that's ribbon. By the same logic we're saying over here, Rabbi Yechon is saying, you can't borrow a dinner to pay back a dinner. Now we have to ask, wait, dinner demai. What a dinner can mean a silver dinner or it can mean a gold dinner. Which kind is he talking about? Elaim a dinner shall kesef, a dinner shall kesef. Again, we said yesterday that there has to be something that's a fixed value, right, and everything else moves around. Okay, so yeah, so that's the thing. There has to be something which is the unit of value. Yeah. So, elaim a dinner shall kesef, are you going to say that Rabbi Yochanan means you're not allowed to borrow a silver dinner intending to pay back a silver dinner? Why?
Right.
When we talk about silver versus gold, again, you can argue maybe silver is considered the commodity like the Yerushalmi's version. But you certainly can't say that silver itself on its own is not considered a matbea. What would be the problem? In fact, actually, the Ravid points out an interesting thing. The Torah tells us specifically, im kesef talva etami, if you lend somebody kesef. Now, kesef has a generic meaning of money, but it also more specifically means silver. So therefore, the Torah itself is telling you that you can lend silver. And they say what the Ravid means is based on an interesting idea that the Taz mentions, which is the Taz says, this idea is mentioned in many different places in Halacha, that if the Torah explicitly says that something is mutter, the Chachamim don't have the power to say that it's aser. They don't have the power to make a gzera against it. So the Ravid is arguing, therefore, if the Torah itself explicitly says in kesef talva, the Chachamim don't have the ability to say, but you can't lend kesef because fluctuations in value. Yeah. So, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan cannot possibly mean that you can't lend a silver dinner to get back a silver dinner. Ela pshita dinner shalzav, dinner shalzav. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan must be talking about a gold dinner. You can't borrow a gold dinner to pay back a gold dinner. And we have to ask Ulaman. Now, which opinion of the two opinions before, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, would Rabbi Yochanan be saying that according to? Either Beit Hillel, if it's according to Beit Hillel, Ha'amik Tivahabi. What's the problem? Beit Hillel is saying that gold is considered matbea. That's why they say you're allowed to transfer the Kedusha of Ma'aseh Sheni from the silver coins to the gold ones, because you're still going from money to money, from matbea to matbea, which is fine. Evidently, Rabbi Yochanan must be talking according to Beit Shammai. Now, not to say he holds the halachas like Beit Shammai. Tosfos says, of course not. But he means he would use their underlying concept that they're saying that gold is considered peiros. He wouldn't hold the halacha is like them as far as Maaseh Sheni, but he would hold, I do accept that underlying principle of theirs, that gold is payers, that gold is a commodity. And Ushma min Rabbi Yochanan Hodama ein b'chalolinen. Therefore, evidently, Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who is saying that, when we were trying to explain Beshamai and Besolol's opinion before, Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who says that Beshamai would say you can't be mechalol on gold coins at all, not even directly from payers to gold. Because the coin to him would be... Sort of Gilly Milsa, yeah. So that would show then in this machlokas. So now we would understand. Rav Yochanan is the one who says that, and Rav Shlokish would have to be the one who says that Rav Shammai agrees you can go directly to gold. They just say you can't go silver to gold.
And
Rav Yochanan would be saying even that. The answer is loy. The answer Gemara says no, not necessarily. You don't have to explain it that way. Maybe Rav Yochanan is the one who says that Rav Shammai says you could go from payers to gold. The shiny halva, it's just different when it comes to loans. Because since when it comes to buying and selling, as our Mishnah said, Zahav Koneh Kesef, gold is a commodity. Fine, maybe relative to Maaseh Sheni, we can consider gold to be a currency. But relative to silver, we said relative to silver, our Mishnah is telling us it's considered a commodity. Which therefore, what does it mean? That when the ratio between silver and gold goes up and down, we say silver's price, silver's value stays fixed, and gold is what varies.
Because
we're saying we're on a silver standard, and gold is a commodity. Legabe hava nami pei rahavi. Therefore, we would say the chachamim we're going to be machmir when Rabbi Yochanan might be arguing. Therefore, that we want to be machmir when it comes to lending to avoid even any possibility of ribis, even ribis dirabanan.
That's the whole purpose of the machlokes, really.
No, the machlokes with Shammai Bistilol was about Maaseh Sheni.
Right.
But he was saying, if Rabbi Yochanan is saying, also lovus dinner b'dinner, not necessarily is he saying that because I consider that gold is considered a commodity for other purposes. Maybe for Maaseh Sheni it's considered currency. Maybe even for some other purpose it would be considered currency. But when it comes to trading gold for silver coins, for exchanging gold for silver coins, we see that our Mishnah is telling us gold is a commodity and that it can fluctuate in value. Okay. Therefore, when it comes to lending, he wants to be machmir and say, therefore, you can't lend it because fluctuations in value, you'll have a problem of ribis tirabanan, right? Therefore, he would argue that when it comes to a loan, also we should consider lachumra, we should consider gold to be payers. But not necessarily that he'd say the same thing by Maaseh Sheni. The Gemara says, "Hachi nami mistabra." In fact, it seems logical to understand it that way. Before we get into that, by the way, I should point out that Ramban points out something, which is even according to the opinion that we've been discussing all along, the opinion of Rebbe when he was younger, that gold is the currency and silver is a commodity. Still, there's no question that, as we said before, you can redeem Maaseh Sheni on silver coins, and that for a few reasons. Again, number one, the Torah uses the word kesef over there, and for another thing that Ramban points out, like this, even if we say that essentially gold is the currency and silver is just like any other commodity, still, the fact of the matter is, generally, when you buy fruit, you're going to be using silver coins. You're not usually going to be using a gold coin to buy fruit, because that would buy you a huge amount of fruit. So practically, just on a practical level, even if you say you're on a gold standard, practically speaking, silver has to be considered that it has to a certain extent, a fixed value. Not totally, because we're saying you're on a gold standard. If we say you're on a gold standard, then by definition, they're not on a silver standard, but still, silver can still be considered a makbeya in that scheme of things.
Because it's so frequently.
Because it's so frequently used, like you said yesterday. Most retail buying and selling would be done with silver coins rather than gold. Yeah.
Today, would that apply?
Today, today neither silver nor gold really circulate, so both of them probably would be considered payers, and both of them would be considered payers. And again, like I mentioned yesterday, what Ramosha says, that our American dollars or whatever, if despite inflation and deflation, still, for example, that a debt that you owe the government will be payable in the same amount of dollars. They won't make you pay more because of inflation or because of deflation. Let's say then it means it's considered to have a fixed value, even though it doesn't have any intrinsic value. It's just backed by the faith and credit of the government.
Counterfeiting the purity of the coins, silver and gold, making a difference. the simple Mexican
in those days. I mean, if
they, and, other things.
Okay, I mean, if they did, then if it was detectable, if it was enough to make a difference, they'd be doing Onoa, as we'll learn later on in the paragraph when we talk about Onoa as it relates to coins. And yeah, I mean, if they put enough in there, if they adulterated enough, nobody's going to accept it.
You're up by the volume and the weight.
Okay, well, you know, you'd have to. I mean, we could get into metallurgy over here. Let's not, because we have a Gemara to learn. But you know, copper, for example, weighs only half as much as gold. If you wanted to replace a significant amount of gold, the coin would be a lot lighter, and any decent businessman would know that there's something wrong here. Okay, onward. Okay. We're on Memhei Amud Aleph now. We're about 10 lines from the top line. We're going to have a. Okay, the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. Yes, it seems logical to say that Rabbi Yochanan actually is the one who says that Shammai and Betzillel both agree that you can be mechalel directly on gold, and the question is only about going from gold, from silver to gold. Why? The Kiyosa Robin of Rabbi Yochanan, because when Robin came from when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, he reported that Rabbi Yechanan said, "Afa pisha amru also lovas dinner b'dinner." Even though it is true, the Chachamim said you're not allowed to borrow one dinner for another dinner, for, as we said before, because the value may fluctuate. And by the way, Tosfos discusses the possibility whether maybe after all we could maybe understand Rabbi Yechanan to have been talking about silver after all, if we say we're on a gold standard, if we say that gold is the matveya. Anyway, okay. Even though that is true, av mechal and ma'aser sheni olav, but Rabbi Yechanan explicitly says you can be mechal and ma'aser sheni on gold. Okay, shema mina. That proves that Rabbi Yechanan is the one who says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that you can do that, and the machlokas according to Rabbi Yechanan is only about going from silver to gold. Okay. Tashma, come, let's prove from another Mishnah in ma'aser sheni, the next Mishnah after the previous one. The Mishnah says, "Apodet sela mimoyis ma'aser sheni." If somebody is exchanging a sela for money of ma'aser sheni. So Rashi explained, usually the word hapodet means to convert large coins into smaller ones, into prutas. But Rashi, and in fact, the Rambam, for example, understands it that way, but the Rashi explains it the other way around, that a person has a bunch of prutas of ma'aser sheni. Over time, he's redeemed individual fruit here or fruit there or whatever on one copper coin, one pruter or whatever. Eventually, he has a lot of those copper coins. He wants to exchange them for silver coins to take it to Yerushalayim again, because then he'll have a lot less coins to take. Beis Shammai says he is allowed to exchange the entire sela's worth of prutas. He's allowed to change, let's say, however many prutas it is to a sela. Let's say I forget what the figure is, 192 I think or something, but whatever. Let's use a nice round figure. Let's say it was 100. So he'd be allowed to, Beis Shammai says he'd be allowed to take 100 of his prutas and convert them to one sela. He doesn't have to leave any of it in the form of prutas. Or Basil, I mean, Beshekel Kesef for Shekel Mars. Basil says no. He can only exchange up to half of his coins, half of his prutas, for silver. So he can exchange it for a shekel, which is half a sela. The other half he has to leave as copper coins. Now, why is that? Rashi says the logic is like this. Prutas are going to be used for buying small amounts of things. You want one small amount of fruit or whatever, you're going to use prutas. If people are coming to Yerushalayim all the time only with silver coins, and then they need to make change for prutas when they come to Yerushalayim, what's going to happen is that the value of prutas is going to go up. There's going to be a shortage of prutas, supply and demand. There's going to be a higher demand for prutas. Therefore, the money changer is going to charge you more to get prutas. And then you're losing out of ma'aser sheni, because then some of your money of ma'aser sheni is not going for buying food and drink. Some of it is being used to pay the money changer. You want to avoid that as much as possible. So in order to avoid that, Basil says, make sure that you take along at least half of your sela in the form of small change, and that way there'll be enough small change available in your shalayim. Tosfos argues with Rashi on that, because among other things, because Tosfos says, in that case, it comes out with Shammai is Makel, and usually we find with Shammai is Machmir. And this isn't listed as one of the exceptions. So Tosfos says the other way around. On the contrary, Beis Shammai says you must exchange all your prutas for silver coins, because otherwise, if you do it piecemeal, when you get to Yerushalayim, or even outside Yerushalayim, but yeah, it has to be outside Yerushalayim, whatever, again, you're going to end up paying the money changer each time for each transaction. Again, ma'aser sheni is losing out. Whereas Beis Shammai says, we're not worried about that. You can go, you can do it piecemeal. Okay, anyway. Now, so we have to ask, now, let's ask, if according to Beis Shammai, I mean, everybody's agreeing. Both the Shammai and the Solo are agreeing over here that to begin with, you were mechalo your Maaser Sheni on copper coins on purpose. So if the Shammai is saying that you're allowed to exchange Maaser Sheni fruit for purpose, how much more so does we need to be told that you're able to exchange it for gold? So why would we have an opinion, which now we're saying is the opinion of Rish Lakish, that says that if Shammai says you can't even exchange fruit directly for gold, why not? Why should gold be any worse off than copper in that regard? The answer is, shiny pretty. It's different when it comes to purpose. But Asra, Desagian Harif, in places or for things for which they circulate well. Meaning, like we said yesterday, there are places or there are things for which copper coins won't be usable at all. There are places where they won't accept them. You know, in Canada, for example, nowadays they don't use pennies anymore. So that
really?
Would
they don't use pennies.
They don't use pennies anymore. I think they're the lowest denomination, I think, is a nickel.
Whatever of them.
Yeah, okay. So that would be an example where prutas don't circulate at all. Not that a pruta is a penny, but you get the idea, though, you know. Or for certain things. You're not going to go, you know, you're not going to go and pay for your groceries with bags of pennies. So pennies don't. There are places and times where pennies don't circulate, but when they do, they're chorif. They circulate very easily because when you're talking small things, which are payable in pennies, nowadays you don't have. But whatever, you get the idea.
More than pennies.
Whatever. But nowadays, of course, it would be like a dime or a quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they do circulate well. So therefore, yes, you could argue that in that sense, copper has an advantage over gold. Gold would be the equivalent of a $1 million bill. You know, you're not gonna find very many places that are gonna accept it because you know, unless it's too big basically. Whereas prutas, okay, you're gonna have places that are not willing to accept pennies, but if they are willing to accept them, they're likely to go very well. So therefore, yes, you could argue according to this. So therefore, Rish Lakish, yes, could argue, but Shammai would have no problem with using prutas for Maaser Sheni. They would have a problem with using gold. So far, this was all version one of Rabbi Yechonon and Rish Lakish's machlokes. Now we're going to have version two. Lishnachrina Amrila. Now we say another version of the whole machlokes, starting again from the beginning. Rabbi Yechonon and Rish Lakish, Chad Amar, one says that the machlokes of Shammai and Hillel in the first Mishnah that we quoted about converting Maaser Sheni to gold from silver to gold, machlokes b'sloin b'aldinrim, one of them says that the machlokas is going from silver to gold, but not for the reason we said before, because of being payrus or whatever. No, previously we said the same thing, but for a different reason. Before we were talking about because one's payrus and the other one is matveya. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about it for a different reason. Because Bishamai would say that when the Torah says that you take the money in your hands and go to your shalayim, they would say kesef rishon like kesef sheni. It means specifically the first money that you directly redeem the Maaser Sheni on, not the second money where you took that and exchanged it for other coins. So that would be why they say you can't go from silver to gold. Nothing to do with the relative places of silver and gold in the economy, just because it's going from coins to other coins. And Rabbi Shammai says you can't do that. Whereas Bissil says, yes, but you have an extra word, hakesef, in the psukim over there. It actually says three times in the psukim over there, hakesef. So you have one of them is available as an extra thing to teach us that even kesef sheni, you can exchange coins for other coins. But when it comes to exchanging payrus for dinarin directly for gold dinarin, divrei hakam mechallelinan. Everybody would agree, according to this opinion, that you can be mechallel. That katzi kesef rishon. Because what's the difference? Silver or gold? It's still the first set of coins, and that's the Torah doesn't have a problem with that. Chad amar after payrus al dinarin machlokas. Whereas the other opinion, according to in this version, would say that the machlokas is even going directly from payrus to gold. Would also be the machlokas, but again, not for the reason we said before, because whether one's not the matbea and one is the commodity, but for other reasons, because according to this opinion, it still would be because dava peiro, who Rashi says, it would still be that according to this opinion, okay. because gold is not considered currency, it's considered a commodity, and therefore you can't be machal peiros on other peiros. But according to the first opinion, that you could go from payrus to gold, the reason why it would work is not so much because gold is currency, but because the Torah says you can do it one time, but not two times, according to Rish Shammai. Okay. So again, the question is, Lamando Amasloyan Adjunirim Afloy. That's the same question as we had on the first version, we're going to have on the second version. According to the opinion that they're arguing even on converting fruit directly into gold, why are they arguing in the Mishnah about going from silver to gold? Let them argue about going from silver to silver. The person has a sloyin off sloyin. Instead of arguing about going from silver to gold, literally give a sloyin off sloyin. Let me go back. According to the opinion of these two opinions in this second version, that we're saying that machloikas is, again, since Beshamai holds hakesef means only the first kesef, not the second one, why is the Mishnah telling us about a case where you converted it to gold, silver, and now you want to reconvert that to gold? Just tell us a case you converted to silver, and you want to convert to other silver. You want to exchange the old silver coins for new ones. Why don't they tell us that, machloikas? Now, Tosfos mentions that Tosfos says maybe we shouldn't be good at that. Why would a person want to convert one set of silver coins into another? So Tosfos says maybe because you might have some silver coins from one or another country might circulate more easily in Yerushalayim. We learned in Baba Kama that the Chachamim in Yerushalayim did make a takana that all foreign coins are acceptable as currency in Yerushalayim because people are coming from all over with their Maaseh Sheni money and they may have foreign coins.
What did we say that?
We learned that in Baba Kama in the ninth paragraph we talked about it. But nevertheless, you still have some that the merchants are more willing to accept than others because they're known to be better quality or whatever it is. So therefore, yes, a person might have reason to convert silver to silver. If that's the machloikas, if the machloikas is that Beshamai is saying hakesef is only kesef rishon, and the Sibyl says even kesef sheni, why bother with the whole silver and gold thing? You convert it to silver, you want to convert that silver to other silver. Beshamai would say no, the Sibyl would say yes. That's the question. Exactly. The answer is e ifligi besloyin afloyin, because if they only argue about silver to silver, have a minimum besloyin afloyin. Again, a similar answer to what we said in the first version. You would think maybe they only argue about silver to silver, that Beshamai says no, Besilil says yes, because of hakesef kesef riba. Aval besloyin afginuin, but when it comes to silver to gold, modu lehu besilil Beshamai, maybe still Besilil would agree with Beshamai, the davel gavakasta peirahavi, that gold relative to silver is considered peiris, like our Mishnah said, veloy mechalalinen, and therefore we should not be able to be mechalalit, kamash malon, and that is why the Mishnah tells us the case of gold and silver, of silver to gold, rather, to clarify that even in that case, Besilil would hold you allowed to do it. We don't say that in that case gold is considered payrus. We say that gold is considered. Is considered mafia.
So that means they're not locus. We're saying that.
We're saying that Basil would hold that. Again, we might argue like the Ritva said before that given our Mishnah, which says the other way around, you might have to flip around the opinion in that Mishnah and Maaseh Sheni. But that's a side issue. The point is that in order to understand fully what Basil is saying, we have to understand they're allowing two things. They're allowing you to convert it twice. They're allowing you to convert silver to silver. They're also allowing you to convert silver to gold, even though gold might be considered a commodity because the fact of the matter is it is a type of currency, and therefore it's allowed.
Still allowed.
Yeah. Tashma. Come, let's prove from the next Mishnah, again in Maaseh Sheni, Hapodet Sela Shal Maaseh Sheni B'Yerushalayim. Now what happens is a person comes to Yerushalayim with his silver coin of Maaseh Sheni, and now he needs to convert that back into copper coins in order to buy small amounts of things. So this is the opposite of, according to Rashi, this is the opposite of the previous case. This is before he was taking his silver, his copper coin and converting them to silver to bring them to Yerushalayim. Now he's in Yerushalayim and converting silver back to copper. Again, we have a similar machlokas. Beshamai says that he can convert all of his sloyin into copper coins. He can take the entire sela and convert it into 192 or whatever it is, copper coins. Or again, Basil says, like before, that you can only do half of it. You have to leave the other half of it in the form of silver. Now here Rashi says it's something else. No, before it was because you want purpose to be available in your life. Here it's a different consideration. No, because after all, the purpose that you get from the money changer are going to be spent there in your line. They're going to stay in your line. That's not the problem. The problem isn't that you're going to have a lack of circulating purpose. The problem now
is going therefore to go.
No. Before the problem was you're coming there without purpose and now you're going to need purpose and therefore the price of them is going to go up. Here we're not talking about that. Here it's different. Rashi says rather it's like this. you might not stay long enough in your shalayim to spend the entire seller worth of money. It's going to take time to spend that amount of money and eat it. So you might instead tell somebody who lives in your shalayim, you hold on to the rest of this money till I come for the next aliyah l'regel, then I'll pick up the rest of it and continue spending it. Meanwhile, prutas, copper coins, rust. Never mind change in value. They rust more easily than the silver tarnishes, copper rust. Silver tarnishes, copper rust. So therefore...
copper rust.
Well, not rust, whatever you want to call it. Oxidized, whatever.
It oxidized.
Yeah, whatever, no.
Okay, it oxidizes, it doesn't rust.
The point is, whatever, the point is that, therefore, so what are you going to happen? If you leave prutas over there for a few months, till the next aliyah l'regel, they'll go bad, and if you convert them back to silver, you have the same problem that we said before. You're paying the money changer twice, and then, therefore, some of that Ma'aser Sheni money is not going for food and drink, it's going to pay the money changer. You don't want to do that. That is why Basil is saying that you can't convert the whole thing back, that you can't convert the whole thing back into prutas. Again, Tosfos says the same thing as before, that it's the other way around. Beshamai is saying that you have to convert the whole cella, and Vasil is saying that's optional. You could convert half of it if you want. Okay. Anyway, again, if you're telling me that you're allowed to convert silver into prutas, here Beshamai is not arguing that you can only convert to coins once. They're allowing you. They are saying you're allowed to go from silver to copper. Why would they say when it comes to going from silver to gold, where gold outranks silver in value? Why should we say that you can't go from silver to gold in that case? And again, if we argued before that it has to do with payrus or not, fine. We could argue whether gold is payrus or not. But if they're saying it's zeres akasev, kesef rishon, like kesef sheni, why should there be a difference between copper and gold? The answer is Amar Rava Yerushalayim Kamoisvis. You're trying to ask from a case of redeeming Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim itself. That's different. Shiny Yerushalayim. Dechtivba Bay, because in Yerushalayim the Torah tells us what are you supposed to do. Venasata Kesef B'chol Asher Ta'ava Nafshecha B'Bokor B'Tzayin. You're supposed to spend the money over there on whatever your heart desires and whatever your soul desires, such as cattle and sheep. Meaning, in other words, that yes, the whole point is in Yerushalayim you're supposed to be buying fruit with it. Now, copper coins aren't fruit, obviously, Tosfos points out, but you can use them to buy fruit. You can use them to buy fruit or meat or whatever it is, any of the things you're allowed to. Therefore, we can say, yeah, once you come to Yerushalayim, sure, you're allowed to convert copper. You're allowed to convert silver to copper because that's the whole point. You're going to use that copper now to buy food. As opposed to, we've been talking about outside Yerushalayim. That is where Rish Shammai says, I can't have kept it, because that's where the Pasuk says, I can't have, is talking about outside Yerushalayim. So no proof from that. Toshma, haporet selam imoris ma'aser sheni. Again, let's go back to the second Mishnah that we quoted earlier up on our Amud. That a person is converting his individual copper coin of ma'aser sheni into silver to bring to Yerushalayim. The Shammai says that you can convert all of the copper into silver for the trip. Or whereas Basilo says, as we said before, you can only do half of it for the reason that we said before, because you don't want the demand for prutas in Yerushalayim to skyrocket. So therefore, you see that Beshamai has no problem with going from one currency to another, going from copper to silver. Because they're saying you can take all the copper of Ma'aser Sheni and convert it to silver. So what kind of a kesef rishon? No. Ela dekula alma hakesef kesef riba v'afilu kesef sheni. No. We have to say that everybody would agree that when the Torah says hakesef and says kesef, that when the Torah says two or three times in the psukim over there the word hakesef, it comes to include kesef sheni. You are allowed to convert it. You are allowed to convert it twice.
How do we come to that?
Because we're saying, obviously, Beis Shammai agrees with that, because otherwise they wouldn't say you can go from copper to silver. Outside Yerushalayim, that is. So necessarily, then we have to say that no, never mind that. Never mind saying that the machlokes between them is about doing it twice or doing it once. Everybody would agree you can do it twice. Ella I itmar did Rav Shimon Lakish Haki itmar. No, rather we would have to say a point. And again, this is all in the second version of the machlokes. We already dealt with the first version that dealt with whether that gold is the commodity or silver is the commodity. We dealt with that before. Now we're in the second lashon. So if, according to the second lashon, if you're going to say that the machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rishon and Rakesh, hachi itmar, then you would have to say the machlokas goes as follows. Chadram and Machloikas Besloin al Dinrin, that one of them, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, says the Machloikas is going from silver to gold, is not for any of the reasons we said before, not because gold is Paris, not because Akesef means only Kesef Rishon, but rather, the Vishame Sabri Gazrinan, Vishame would say you can't go from silver to gold because you make a Gzera Sheme Yasha Ali Yoisa. He might delay his coming up to Yerushalayim. The Zimnin Deloy Molo Zuzi B'Zinra, because you could happen, let's say, he doesn't have enough copper coins to convert to one, he doesn't have enough copper coins, or he doesn't have a Zuzi or a silver coin. He doesn't yet have enough silver coins. It takes 24 silver coins to get to 25, rather, we said yesterday, 25 silver dinner to get to one gold dinner. He may Pashat not have enough.
It takes time
to have enough Maisa Sheni that you've converted to silver to reach that amount. V'lay Masik, and therefore he's not going to bring it up. He's going to wait and you're supposed to bring Maisa Sheni. Ideally, you're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim during that year. You're not really supposed to delay it. Other Mephoshim
take more than a year.
May it doesn't know. Rashi just said she actually made dinner zav b'shal shniya. Rashi says he may just end up waiting until it'll reach the full value of a gold dinner next year, and then he'll take the 25 silver dinner and convert them to one gold dinner and bring it to Yerushalayim. Shim k'maisa shana abba that he'll redeem next year's maisa sheni. We don't want him to wait that long. We want him to bring maisa sheni to Yerushalayim this year. Therefore, Bishrami says don't allow him to do silver to gold so he has no incentive to wait.
By the way, they didn't.
Other Mephoshim say, in fact, that the problem is that he's not going to do Aliyah Ledegel. He may figure, why should I bother Aliyah Ledegel when usually one of the things you're going to do on Aliyah Ledegel is bring you Maisa Sheni, and I don't have it yet put together, therefore I'm not going to bother.
Right.
Well, he has a chiyuv too. We don't want him to slack off on that, saying, you know what, since I can't deal with my Maisa Sheni, then I'm not going to bother. Yeah.
They didn't have smaller denominations of gold coins.
Then. Nope. Apparently the smallest denomination of gold coin was the Dinos Olive, yeah.
How big was that again?
What size of the coin? I don't know.
How many ounces was it?
It was worth 25 silver dinner, we said, yeah.
Dinner.
Well, let's put it this way. A dinner is one quarter of a sella. Five sloy of a sella is roughly about the size and weight of an old-style U.S. silver dollar.
Okay.
So you can figure then. So a gold dinner would have been worth 24 of those, let's say. So not that it would be the size of 24 silver dollars, obviously, but it would be the value of them. So yeah. Again, we said
silver dollars.
Put it this way. According to what Tosfos was saying yesterday, it would come out. It was about the size. It would have been about the size of a silver dollar and twice as thick.
Right.
And twice as thick. So therefore would have the value of 25 silver. Or
that
25.
Would be
no, sorry. No. I forgot a conversion factor over there. Four dinner make a seller. So what it would be is it would rather be, four dinner make a seller. So therefore dinner would have been more like a quarter in that sense. A dinner would have been more like an old style silver quarter. You would say that a gold dinner would be like a size of a quarter and twice as thick. That's what it is.
So it would be like a quarter.
But gold and twice
gold.
As thick. Yeah.
That would be like...
For the coin collectors among us, I think it would have been about the size. I think it would have been about the size of an old style $2.5 coin. Not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many ounces would that be?
No idea. I guess we could do this. We could sit and figure it out. But let's do that afterwards. Okay. So Basil is not worried about that, but because you're going to say, I don't have enough silver coin to make a gold dinner, therefore I'm not going to bother. Because Basil says, fine, even if it's not to the full value of a gold dinner, he still will go and take it up because it means he doesn't have that much to bring. Because if it takes 25 silver dinner to make one gold dinner, so what are we saying? He hasn't yet reached 25, therefore he's not going to bother. The soul says, why not? 24 or less silver dinarim is not that hard to carry. He won't avoid going to Yerushalayim just because I have to take 24 silver dinarim, 24 quarters instead of one.
Doesn't change them, and if he hasn't received the full amount.
No, that's the point, in other words. But Shammai is saying like this. If this year's Maisa Sheni amounted to, after he converted it to silver, it came out, let's say, 15 dinarim. He's going to figure, I can't convert 15 dinarim to a gold dinner. You need 25 for that. Therefore, I won't bother. And therefore, I'll leave it for next year. There's Basil says, why should it be such a hassle to take 15 gold silver dinner to Yerushalayim? He's not going to avoid going to Yerushalayim just because of that. So therefore, no problem. a silver dinner. If we're saying it's the weight of an old style quarter, think of it. Even though the half dollars we use for Mach the Shekel aren't that heavy. 15 of them, that's 15 half dollars, twice the weight of a quarter, it's, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So according to this understanding, then, we would say that the reason why the Shammai is saying you can't go from silver to gold is just because of this Gzeira. And Basil is not worried that you need it. Basil says there's no reason to make that Gzeira. But the continuation of this opinion, of this understanding of the Shammai Basilo, would say that if it comes to doing Peiros directly on gold dinrin, Divrei HaKamachalin, and everybody would agree you could be Machal that, because fruit is going to spoil after a while. You're not going to bother going up because I have fruit, and it's going to spoil before if you leave it for next year. Necessarily, he's going to come this year. So therefore, there's no reason to make a Zeder that he can't convert it to gold because he may wait till it adds up to the value of a gold din. What?
$500.
Okay.
It's a quarter. It's two,
okay.
Two quarters, and it weighs 0.4 ounce.
Okay. So
that's $500.
Okay. So that's another thing. Whereas the other opinion would say that even if you're doing Peiros directly to gold dinrin, they would say you also have the machlokas. The Shammai would still say that you might hold it back. You might wait until you have a full gold dinner's worth of Peiros and then not go to your shalach. Altogether now we have three different understandings of the Shammai Basilo's machlokas. We have the original understanding that it was strictly a question of whether gold is a matbeah or silver is a matbeah. We have the second one saying that it depends on whether Tesef Rishon or Tesef Sheni, but we slugged that one up. Now we have the third one, that it's a question of this Zera or not. How far do we apply this Zera? Do we only apply it to going from silver to gold, or do we even apply it going directly from Paris to gold? And again, according to that opinion, Vasila wouldn't hold the whole Zera in the first place, and therefore they don't have a problem with directly to gold or silver to gold. Yeah. Okay, according to the last opinion that we said that midaraisa, it is mutter to do it. It's only the rabbanon who made a gzera on it and said that you shouldn't because of the shema yashal yosav. Fine, then we can understand why the Mishnah uses the expression you should do it or you shouldn't do it, meaning. If you did it, it would be a valid chilul. The kedusha has now gone off that fruit and been transferred to the coin. However, the chachamim are telling you, don't do it. Shema yashal yosef. Ela lahachlish. Yeah. No, because shema yashal yosef, because you may delay or whatever. Ela lahachlish nedamid d'midaraisa pligi. But according to the earlier lashon that we said that the machlokas is on a daraisa level, which one is considered the peiros and which one is considered the matbea. Or because of a kesef riba, whatever, mechalolinim v'loy mechalolinim by like. Why is the Mishnah uses the expression yaseh or lo yaseh? The Mishnah should say b'shama omrim mechalolin or b'siloim or mecholol or ein mecholol or whatever. Meaning that b'shama would say ein mecholol, b'silo would say mecholol, which means according to b'shama, such a chilul b'chlal does not take effect, and b'silo would say it does
because
it would be daraisa. Yeah, kasha. Okay, akasha. And as usual in the Gemara, when the Gemara finishes off some other kasha, it means it's not an upschlug. You haven't completely schlugged it up. You could find a way to transfer it, but it's a kasha at least. Okay. Now we're off the topic of Maaseh Sheni, and now for the time being, we're off the topic of whether gold or silver is considered the mafeya. Now we're going to start talking about kinyan chalitza.
So the conclusion is
that we have several different possible ways of explaining the Shammai and Basilo's machlokas. Some of them will depend on the question of gold and silver in the economic system. Some of them will not. Onward. It's my. Rav and Levi argue as follows. One of them says that a coin can be used for chalifin, meaning, we said, Rashi explained at the beginning of the paragraph, when you're making a business deal with somebody, you can structure the deal in one of two ways. You can say we're doing it as chalifin. You're going to do mashicha on what I'm giving you. And as soon as you do that, I acquire what you're giving me, wherever it is, even if I hadn't done any specific kinyan on it. Or we're doing it returdas damim. This is worth X amount. That's worth X amount. I'll give you my thing. Now you are obligated to pay me X amount. I don't actually own that money yet. We're going to see later whether the Daraisa or the Rabbanon. We'll deal with that in a couple of days. But right now we're dealing with, there are those two ways, b'teres chalifin or b'teres damim. what was
chalifin? You give it back; it doesn't belong to you.
It doesn't. It, chalifin could be like kinyan sudur, where you temporarily use the guy's sudur and then return it to him. It doesn't have to be though. Kinyan chalifin could just as well be a machlis part of a chamar. I'm giving you my part; you're giving me my chamar. You're giving me your chamar. Yeah. Okay. So one of them between Rav and Levi is saying that a coin can be used as the equivalent of a sudur. So in other words, according to this opinion, if we're saying, our Mishnah is saying that if I give you money and I haven't yet done Meshicha on the food, then the Kinyan has not been accomplished yet, that's when we're doing the Petur as Domim, that's when we're doing it as a matter of monetary exchange. But if we're doing it as Chalifin, then I can give you the coin, you do Meshicha on the coin, and that'll be the equivalent as if I gave you a Sudr to do Meshicha on. The other opinion says that a coin cannot be used for Chalifin. What's the reason behind the opinion that says that a coin cannot be used for chalifin? Because when a person gets a coin, he has in mind the tsura. He has in mind not really so much the intrinsic value of the metal on the coin, but rather the fact that it's legal tender, the fact that it has
right.
a certain image on it. The tsursa avidu the batla, and that image can be disqualified. The king can always order that this kind of coin is no longer usable. The government or whatever can withdraw it from circulation. So order that it's no longer legal tender. And then that's it. It's just a piece of metal.
It has to be a legal tender to be
That's what we're saying. In order for it to be considered a mafia, it has to be legal tender, yeah. So, we learned in Baba Kama.
If it's silver
is fine, but then it's just, if it's just a piece of silver or a piece of gold, of course it's payers, of course it's a commodity. We haven't been talking about that. All this time, when we're talking about what's an adeya, we mean an actual coined piece of metal that has a face value. It has a face value. It's accepted because that people in the country, yeah, we learned in Baba Kama about the concept Salte Malchus, Salte Medina. We had over there a case where the government ordered it withdrawn from circulation. We had talked over there about a case where the people no longer are willing to accept it. Whatever.
Obviously, it's like a silver quarter in the 60s or the 50s when the value of a quarter was far greater than the value of the silver contained within.
Yes. Okay.
Otherwise, people wouldn't care that the government...
Right. So, but because Sursa did a debacle, therefore you can't consider it. Therefore, you can't really consider it a kale. Rashi uses the expression.
If the surah has disappeared, it's no longer a tender.
It's not disappeared. Not if it was rubbed out. Kosla, as in the government ordered that this is no longer to be
It
was rubbed out, then it's not really a coin either. Then nobody's going to accept it as a valid coin. Yeah, then it would probably be more.
If
they're
worth a lot less when they're worn out. Right?
Well, there's that too. Yeah, we're not getting into that. Sursa vidu de batla doesn't mean it can be damaged. A keli can also be damaged. We mean it can be canceled. And therefore, Rashi says it's not considered davar mesuyam b'sholem. It's not considered a thing that has a definitive value, as opposed to a keli, let's say. Many other Rishonim give a different reason. They say because since you're looking at the image and the face value on the coin, and again, since that can be canceled, in that sense, a coin is more like a shtar. Yes, it has a certain intrinsic value. I mean, a shtar also has a certain intrinsic value. It's a piece of paper. But basically, the value of it is in what's written on it. Same thing with here. You can't use a shtar for chalifin. According to that logic, you can't use a coin for chalifin either. According to the other opinion, by the way, Tosfos says a coin could well be considered a keli. A coin, you have to use a keli, as we'll learn later on, as we go through the sugya about chalifin, you have to use some kind of keli. A coin can be considered a keli for a certain extent. For example, you can use it for jewelry. However, because of the consideration we're saying over here, Tursa bit of the batla, therefore you can't use it for chalifin, according to that opinion.
It has to be something.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
What is the last thing you said?
So the last thing, as Tosh just pointed out, that you have to use a keli for chalifin. You have in Megillat Rus, it describes how they use a shoe, for example.
Oh.
Nowadays we use a gouge or whatever. There has to be a keli of some kind. But in principle, then, according to one opinion, it could be a coin, because a coin can be considered a keli. Because capable of being used for jewelry, let's say. However, because of the tsursa, it is the vatla business. Because on the other hand, the value of the coin is in the inscriptions on it,
yeah.
And then again, of course, and that's capable of being disqualified. Therefore, it cannot be considered according to that second opinion, which is in fact the halacha. It can't be considered as a keli that can be used for chalit.
Are you talking about a coin that's like the copper, supposed to
doesn't matter.
It's worth it, the coin
itself has an intrinsic value, right? But that's the point I was just saying, is a shtar also has an intrinsic value. A shtar is a piece of paper. It has an intrinsic value. We learned earlier in RMSF that, for example, you can use it as a bottle stopper, as a bottle stopper. The point still remains that the essential, many Rishonim say, differently than Rashi, that the essential value of a shtar is in what's written on it. The same thing, the essential value of a coin is in what's written on it, rather than in the metal.
In countries like in England, you cannot mevatel coin, like George V, George VI.
What are you talking about? Of course they can be. Think of, for example, a few years ago when the EU switched over to the euro.
Now, I'm saying during the...
As far as I know, this is the one. No, I don't think that.
During the period when it, like, let's say, before the First World War, you had different coinages in circulation, and they were all valid.
Salte Malchus doesn't mean the old king died. It means, let's say, for example, imagine, you know, the old king has been declared illegitimate. He's been declared a usurper. We have a new dynasty, and therefore all his coins are considered disqualified. That would be Salte Malchus. And Salta Medina would, so imagine, for example, I mean, you know, think of as a very rough example. Imagine, for example, let's say, you know, after Stalin died and then, you know, Khrushchev started with de-Stalinization. If he had declared at that point that all the coins that have Stalin's picture on them are withdrawn from circulation, he didn't, as far as I know, but then that would be an example of Salta Medina. But the Salta Medina, then we also talked about in Baba Kama, would be rather where people in the country refuse to accept it because they don't consider the king on it to be a legitimate king because they're rebelling against him or whatever. That would be an example, yeah. What happened? You mean when they switched over to the euro? No, Salta Malchus.
After the war, Nazi currency was...
That would be a good example, I guess, yeah. Yeah, that would be Salta Medina. Well, there was also Salta Malchus, the new government. Yeah. The new government outlawed it, but I'm saying if the government hadn't outlawed it, but the people no longer wanted to use it, that would be Salta Medina.
And it will still be valid?
No, that was Salta Medina. We learned in Baba Kama that there's a difference. We learned over there in connection with you stole a coin and now you want to return it. We talked about a difference over there between Salta Malchus versus Salta Medina, where the government disqualified it versus where the people disqualified it, but in a different part of the kingdom, it might still be acceptable. Imagine, let's say, for an example of Salta Medina would be, let's say, I don't know, after the American Revolution, let's say, if people in America no longer wanted to accept British coinage, it's not Salta Malchus. The British government still considers it legal tender, and you can use it in England. You just can't use it in America. That would be Salta Medina. Yeah. We learned that in Baba Kama, yeah.